happens to be the end of Teacher Appreciation Week. And I just don't think it's a coincidence that Teacher Appreciation Week and Mother's Day, are we good? Sound as good? Okay, thank you for your patience with that. Happen to be on the same week. In my imagination, this scene sort of plays out where it goes something like this. Over 100 years ago, in the beginning of the 1900s, some politician was watching as children began to come out of the cold and begin to just sprinkle the earth, right? And all the chaos that be when children just come on out. And I picture this politician going, wait a minute, somebody cares for these creatures. And other people educate them. We really ought to thank them for their service and their sacrifice. Let's create some holidays around celebrating them. No, for all you history buffs, that's not actually how it goes. There's three different stories that come together, three different events that create Mother's Day. If you're like me, maybe you have had a favorite teacher, or a teacher that you remember who has made an impact on your life. And so I was thinking about this past week as we were celebrating our kids' Teachers Appreciation Week. And I was thinking about my 7th grade English teacher. She's one of those people that left an impact on my life. She was so full of joy. You could tell she just exuded Jesus' joy wherever she went and whomever she was with, right? And she would even throw in a few little lines here and there, like, oh, I was just singing with my church the other day. Or she just, mentioned something about Jesus, just enough to let us know that she had a faith in Christ. And it was so evident in everything she did, right? And it was how she made her students feel. She made us all feel like we were welcome and like we were important, right? These are the kinds of people that have an impact on your life. Have you had someone in your life who's had that kind of an impact? Maybe you can think of a teacher in the past. So today we are wrapping up our series called Are We There Yet? And we've talked about reading the map. We've talked about packing for the journey. We've talked about roadside hazards. We've talked about don't make me come back there. And this week we are talking about discoveries on the journey. And maybe we've all heard little different anecdotes that talk about the journey is what we make it. I don't know, is anybody out there familiar with Chuck Swindoll? Anybody listen to Charles Swindoll? Okay, yeah, he used to have a public broadcast on KTIS, the FM station. I used to listen to him several years ago more regularly. But he has a couple of different sayings that he's known for, and one of them is, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react to it. And the further you journey in life, that really becomes true, right? We expect things to happen, but how do we react? And I was looking this up to make sure that I was quoting him correctly. I came across two other quotes that he has said. I thought these were particularly good for today. So one of them was, we are all faced with a series of great opportunities brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. Isn't that great? Brilliant opportunities disguised as impossible situations. Those moments of life that we come up against and seem hard, and yet we can find God through them. And this is, I thought, was particularly appropriate for Mother's Day. We are all faced, can you go to the next one? Thank you. Each day of our lives, we make deposits in the memory banks of our children. That could be an encouraging, or that could be a little bit of convicting, right? Or even just as we're looking back at our own childhood and how the things that came up, the memories that we had that helped create our childhood. You know, whether you're celebrating Mother's Day or you work with children, or really if you work with any other human being on the planet, you know that little interruptions in your life are to be expected, right? Little things that just come along the way. And sometimes we embrace them, and sometimes we endure them, right? I am a task-oriented person. Are there other task-oriented people out there? List people, right? Like to make a list. And then a really satisfying, successful day to me is when I was there's lots of check marks off my list, right? Has anybody else write something down they've already done just so that they can scratch it off? Or am I the only one who does that?
Oh, my husband does that.
I didn't know that. Isn't that a great feeling? Got it done, right? And I think that children and people are really important to people like me because we need to be a little bit interrupted, right? And as I've come in my own journey of motherhood, I've really begun to embrace those precious moments when these sweet little cherub faces come eye to eye with me, and whatever it is that's on their mind is so important. And you know, whatever I was doing or thought I needed to accomplish or trying to get done really starts to take second place. Because I recognize that these sweet cherub cheeks may not always be willing to come and tell me these sweet stories. There may be a day when they're replaced with other little faces. And they may not be so willing. And so I'm embracing these moments, right? I'm finding that yes, it's the big memories. Yes, it's the big moments that we celebrate and we think about, you know, the big trips and the things that we have planned. Those are important. Those are great discoveries along the way. But sometimes it's just the day-to-day moments. It's just the day-to-day events that happen. The people that are around us. People are not interruptions. People are a significant part of the journey, right? The people that are in our lives. I am in Hebrews chapter 12. This is the third week that I've been in Hebrews. The first week, we talked about how the author of Hebrews was encouraging a persecuted people. Keep on keeping on in the faith. And last week I talked about how in the book of Hebrews, a holy God is correcting us and disciplining us like a great parent. Sometimes God does this in our lives because this God who is so good, who is so holy, actually invites us to be holy because he is holy. That's a beautiful gift. But today I'm in chapter 12 and I'm in verses 22. Through 28, so if you have your Bibles or if you're, you know, pretending you're following along on your phone, that's where I'm at. Hebrews chapter 12, 22 says, "Now you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in a joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in the book in heaven, written in heaven. You have come to God himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirit of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and to the sprinkled blood, which speaks of forgiveness." This is the blood that speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for the vengeance like the blood of Abel. So be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not accept Moses, who was simply a messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. "Once again, I will not shake only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed, so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe." You have come to the God of Israel. The Holy Spirit of righteousness, and to the Jesus who forgives us. Verse 25, so don't refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. When God is willing to speak into our lives, are we willing to be interrupted? Are we willing to take advantage of the moments that God is molding us and shaping us and inviting us into new discoveries along the way? Are we willing to be interrupted for the voice of God? Don't miss God in the midst of the journey. We so focus so much on where we think we're we're going or on the tasks we think we do, we may miss the voice of God. We certainly won't escape it. If they didn't escape Moses, what makes us think we're going to escape God, right? But remember why we are on the journey to begin with. Because this God who so loves us, who so cares about us, who so invites us into his holy presence, is shaping us and molding us along the way. I love verse 27 that says, "This means that in all creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain." You know something? I don't remember the grammar lessons that my seventh grade teacher taught me. Not really sure. I remember the vocabulary. Can't even really think of the novels or the books we might have read through, but I remember her joy. She actually was our junior high theater director as well, so I got to work with her when she directed some plays as well, and I remember how she made us feel. That joy was contagious. That joy was unshakable. That's what remains with me today. God's going to sift through the stuff that really doesn't matter. He's going to sift through the things that are temporary and that aren't going to satisfy us, so that the things that are sustainable, the things that are satisfying to our souls, the things that are of substance, that is what will remain. My brother became a parent for the first time this week. He and his wife had a baby girl on Thursday. Super excited to welcome our niece, Gabriella, into this world. A shout out to them as they enter into parenting. But I think about, you know, this journey of parenting. And certainly there's sort of this destination, right? Like, I'm sure your parents if you're a parent, there's sort of this hope that one day there will be civilized human beings that will go out into the world and do something good. there's this destination. But a childhood is also built. You think about how your own childhood was built. You think about maybe you're in the process of building your childhood. I think about my brother and his wife, and they're just beginning that process of building a childhood, right? Building all those pieces. I remember when my kids were so little, and I was such a mess. And I remember teaching them to pick up after themselves. You guys remember any of this? Aurora Benjamin, no. And I just remember the little stuff. Maybe you can relate to this. The little stuff that would gather on the floor. I remember getting to this point where that is not in my job description. No way. I will not be picking that stuff up. My job is to create little civilized human beings. My job is not to pick up this little stuff. So if they didn't pick it up and it gets vacuumed up, that is not on me. That is on them. Right? We're building a childhood. We're building these moments over time. Verse 28 goes on to say, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear." Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, a kingdom that cannot be challenged, a kingdom that cannot be changed, a kingdom that is good. It is our final destination, it is our hope, it is where we are going, and yet Jesus told us and promised us that he brought with him the kingdom while he was here on earth, and we live in that kingdom today. We get to be a part of that kingdom in the here and now, so don't miss it. Don't miss it. Be interrupted by the kingdom. During this series, we've been asking, are we there yet? And the answer is we've been there all along. The answer is we have been there all along because it is God's presence that is what we are looking for. It is in the presence of God that we find the fullness of life. Being with Jesus is the journey. Both now and in the future. These are these moments that we choose to search for, to seek, and to be with our God. Our God is growing us. Our God is molding us. Our God is shaping us. But the journey is all about Jesus. And keeping our eyes fixed on what he has done for us. I'm going to go to Haggai No, I did not sneeze. You did not need to bless me for that. Haggai is one of the minor prophets found in the Old Testament. He is a contemporary of Zechariah, and sort of, you know, flip through my pages a little bit, but it's been a little while since I spent any time in Haggai. But Haggai is one of the minor prophets who God chose to speak to the displaced Israelites and to encourage them as they were rebuilding the temple. The temple was the place where God's presence dwelt. When Jesus came, he said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit, and now we experience the presence of God wherever we are. But the temple was the place where God's presence was, and so God gives this word to Haggai and says, go encourage the Israelites. So I'm in Haggai chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, which say this, my spirit remains among you, just as I promised when you came out of Egypt, so do not be afraid. For this is what the Lord of Heaven's Armies, I love that phrase, the Lord of Heaven's Armies, it's an Old Testament phrase that reminds me of the magnitude and the majesty of our God. In just a little while, I will again shake the heavens and the earth, the oceans and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and the treasures of all nations will be brought to this temple. I will fill this place with glory, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies. The future glory of this temple will be greater than its past glory, says the Lord of Heaven's Armies, and in this place I will bring peace. I, the Lord of Heaven's Armies, have spoken. God's Spirit remains among you. Jesus fills this place with his glory, and the future glory of God's kingdom is worth living for. It is worth living for. See, God is so good that he makes the journey good. Are we there yet? We've been there all along, because God's presence is our destination, both now and forevermore. So Gordon and I, we met just about 19 years ago. We were 10 when we met. Thank you. That's what we got then. And when we've known each other long enough, that when I look at him, right, I see my home. He is my home. Right? Even on the days when we choose to like each other, it's my home. And maybe you have someone in your life like that. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe it's a close friend. Maybe it's another relative. And you look at them and they're so comfortable and they're so safe and you so trust them that they are your home. And this is what it is like to live in the presence of God as our home. And the more time we spend with God and the more we seek God, and the more we get to know God, and the more we let God interrupt our lives, the more he becomes our home. I think about Judy Garland, Dorothy, in The Wizard of Oz, and I'm like, there's a few of you here, don't know what I'm talking about. That dates me a little bit. Well, most of us have seen The Wizard of Oz, and at the end of the movie, she gets to the end of her journey, and she meets the good witch, Glinda. And Glinda tells her, you've had the way home all along. All you need to do is clip those little red heels together and you're home. But for Dorothy, the journey with the Scarecrow and the Tin Man and the Lion were for her. They were for her growth. They were for her understanding. They were for who she was becoming. And the same is true in our journey. Our journey is for us. For God, how God is continuing to teach us and to mold us and to grow us and to show us who he created us to be in his presence. We have had the way home all along. It has been in the presence of our God. The journey is what we make it, and our God makes it so good. Are we there yet? We've been there all along. Let us pray. Jesus, we recognize that we are at different places in our journey, and some of us today are going, Lord, I want to come home. I want to come home today. I want to be on this journey with you. And so, Lord, I lift up anyone who is just turning to you, who is just seeking you, who is now coming into your presence. And Lord, some of us have been on the journey for a long time, and yet we know that you still have more for us. We are so comfortable in your presence. We know that you are home. So Lord, bless each one of us, no matter where we may be on our journey. Pour out your presence on us today. We thank you for all you do and all the ways you continue to work. We love you, Lord, and we praise you, God. In your name, amen.